our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast, Rich Police Radio!
All right, welcome to Rich Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who is new to me, but I feel like I've heard the name of your group quite a lot over the years. So I think we need to maybe to start this off, get into the background here about, you know, sort of the band and what we're talking about. So the best way to start things off, I find, is for the guests to introduce themselves, give a bit of background about the project, and then we can kind of take it from there.
Nice. Yeah. My name is Tate Hebert, and I am the front man of Oz Conscious, the founder and the front man and everything, and the person who's kind of carried the torch for many years now. And yeah, we are a 6-piece dream pop alt rock band. We're all from Winnipeg, pretty much. A few people are kind of from around the area, but we're all from Winnipeg. Yeah, well, and it's been a project for a while, but now it's at its best level.
cool. Well, that's good to hear. And I like how you introduced it with the genre too, because that's always my follow-up question, right? Is like, how do you define what you do? And you've clearly kind of laid that out. What is the history here though? Because I feel like I've seen the name for a number of years, just, you know, whether it's on show posters or online or whatever. It seems like it's been quite a while that you've been in existence.
Yeah, it has been. Like, it started pretty much once I was out of high school. So in like 2011,
okay,
and formed it with some friends of mine. I was super inspired at the time, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I just really wanted to make the best music I could, and I was really inspired. I was really angsty and annoyed with the world and all that stuff, right? There was just so much emotions inside me, and then I found a bunch of friends that wanted to do it as well. But we made the original version of Oz Conscious back then, and we had a really good run. We really did our best. We produced our own CDs. We like burned them on discs and everything and sent them off. And then we released like a real EP. And then we did another one. We started playing shows all over the place. We played like a lot, actually, like for a while. There was like posters and stuff everywhere. And
yeah.
And then, then we were, you know, we were a little immature, and then things kind of fell apart. But I always believed that I wanted to keep going with it. And I wanted to, the songs that I had made at the time, I was like, no, these have got to be more fleshed out. These have got to be at a bigger level than we've done. And I've always kind of just kept going with it.
Cool. And so have there been a lot of lineup changes, and you're sort of the constant throughout the various iterations of the group?
Yeah, there's been three. Okay. So there's the original one, which was like a 6-piece, and then there was a lineup change then. And then it was a 4-piece, and then there was another lineup change after that where it was just me for like years. And then it just was like, it's a long period of solo, just soul searching and being like, oh, how do I do this again? You know, it was going really good in the beginning, but then then this stuff just fell apart. Right. Just that's what happens. But I was like, oh, I gotta do it again. You know, I gotta do it again, but it never really worked. It was never working out the way it originally was. So I had to develop my own abilities as a performer, as a musician, as a person, just growing mental health wise, all health aspects, basically.
Yeah.
And then finally, recently, yeah, it's come together in a way that I love and I'm so happy about.
Are some of these songs that you're still playing now, like, have they sort of existed throughout that passage of time? Because I imagine just having those, I mean, especially switching to just a solo thing, the songs must have mutated and sort of shifted and changed in order to be able to play them in the different versions of the group.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like the original idea was, and had it updated with modern stuff like synthesizers and everything like that, with harmonies, male female harmonies, and just the most ambitious thing I could possibly do, the stuff that I wanted to hear. A lot of the songs, actually, now a few songs on the upcoming album we're releasing, is they were from a while ago. Like one of the first riffs I ever made, I was like, oh, that's a cool riff. What is that? Like, I thought I was stealing it from somebody. And I was like, I'd ask people, hey, have you heard this riff? And they're like, oh, it sounds kind of familiar, but I don't know. I think it's original. So that was one of them. And so a bunch of them were, and they really reflect kind of my growth over the last long period of time, several years. So the album really encapsulates that, like the transformations I've been through, the awakenings, the shortcomings, the triumphs and everything. It's a whole like kind of chronicle of that, really.
Yeah, that's cool. And so I guess the reason I asked that is because, I mean, do you feel like there's a point with some of these songs that have been around for a while and you've sort of, you know, you've seen them grow and change? Is there an end point for some of those songs? Like, have you decided that now the current version is the definitive one, or do you foresee this being sort of something that will continue to mutate, I guess, as time goes on? And well, then, sorry, yeah. But the brother to that question is, if you do feel like these are sort of at their definitive point, what makes you decide that? How do you know when a song, especially one that's existed for a long time, sort of has reached its, you know, its apex, I guess?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So that's been the intention here with the album, is to come up with the definitive versions of these songs that I've been just basically forming and kind of imagining and tweaking in my mind by myself, sometimes at jams, for years now. So they've developed a lot in my head, and that's been the intention, is basically, okay, I want to make the final version of these songs so I can do other songs.
Sure. You know? Sure. Yeah.
On, because I was like, these songs, I really like them. Like, I personally really like them. And to me, at this point in my life, that's kind of where it all starts. Do I like this? The album has been a very challenging process of getting them to the point where they are definitive and I can let go, which happened, you know, pretty recently. And I'm still kind of in the aftermath of the letting go, just like, hey, it's done, right?
Yeah. Well, it's, I guess it's hard to do that too, right? If you've lived with these for so long.
I love myself.
And I guess that kind of brings up another question too, is like, you know, now that this record's coming out and these songs in their definitive version are on this record, I get that you want to move on to new stuff, but you kind of are stuck with these now because you have to perform them because people are hearing it on the record. So like, did these songs feel old at all to you? I know you've sort of lived with them as they've changed and you've, you know, tweaked them and stuff, but do you feel like you as an artist have progressed like well beyond these now? And this is just sort of, releasing this to just get it out of you?
No, I'd say they have there's a depth to them and a kind of, I don't, you know, it sounds pretentious to say timeless quality, but that's okay. Always been, that's been the thing that I've always like wanted to make with the songs. I wanted to make something that will stand the test of time for myself. Like ideally just the best I can do. So yeah, these songs, yeah, I've had them for a while. And it's a relief just to kind of recently be like, okay, that's it. The album's done. That's good. But when I listen to the album, I'm just like, I love this. I just love it. Like I actually don't get bored of it. And I think it does. I find that even though the songs were written a while ago, they kind of actually reflect and have more of a meaning. They have a new meaning to me now in a way. And they almost like parallel things I'm going through now.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, that's kind of trippy, you know? So it's, I thought for a while, I thought some of them were just like, yeah, that's an encapsulation of the past. But it's actually pointing out things that are happening now and in the future. Weird.
Yeah, that is weird, but that's kind of cool that to be able to write something that has that kind of longevity, I guess, whether you intended it to or not, right? So you know, you have this record coming out, and we'll get into the details of the release show and all that a little bit later, but what can people who have heard your projects in the past expect from this? I mean, people, I'm sure you have some people who have been following you all along through the various versions of this band. They probably heard your previous EPs. What should they expect from this record that maybe is different from what they're used to from your group?
Yeah, I'd say a much more unified, cohesive sound where it's there's a consistent sound with it that could also be performed live, you know, quite accurately.
Okay.
Better singing, much better singing. past recordings we've done, when I listen, I'm like, wow, that's not good what I was thinking. So that's been a journey for me, is just getting my singing good. So really good singing. But yeah, basically the fully realized version of the dream pop alt rock, best of the rock past combined with the new innovations of the modern day, combined all together in a very, it sounds nostalgic, but also current and modern, and maybe even a bit futuristic.
Okay.
Same time. And yeah, you can expect to be moved very deeply to, you know, release energy, to feel alive and ecstatic. Lots of songs like that. And there's lots of songs that are very yearning and heartfelt, that pull the heartstrings, that are deeply, they deeply resonate with the kind of a yearning feeling that I like to convey in the music, like a longing for something you can't describe. There's a bunch of songs like that that are just they're down tempo and they're really just dig deep. And there's some ones that are just melting, trippy journeys that are just I want to blow people's minds with, because I had to blow my mind first, you know, making these songs. And I was like, okay, well, if it blows my mind, I think it'll blow somebody else's mind.
Right, right. So that's the hope, right? For sure. Yeah, yeah. Do you, all of these kind of types of songs you just described, is that, are you deliberately sitting down to write songs with those kind of feels or those kind of, you know, to give those kinds of impressions to listeners? Or is this sort of what naturally has just come out of your head over the course of creating?
Yeah. So they really, yeah, the ones on this album, they are the ones that have really solidified themselves the most strongly in my mind and in my heart and everything. And they tend to tend to fit in these kind of three vibes. And I guess that those are the types of emotions, energies that I spew out of me, basically, is this excited, alive energy. And then this kind of yearning. And then also this really intense kind of somewhat, I find, kind of scary type of intensity. And yeah, they really just emerge out of me. Yeah, that's like most of the songs, they've just kind of been like, they just pop out of me, basically, you know. But a few of them, they it starts off with a riff, Like a lot of it's based on guitar, like it's a riff, and I just know that riff, like, oh, there's like a depth to that riff. That riff, there's something in there that can be, it's like a seed, and I just know there's a really amazing thing that could come out of it. So a bunch of the songs are like that, where it starts off with a riff and I just grow it, grow it, grow it from there. And they tend to fall into those three categories in a way.
Do you have a preferred one of those categories? Like, is there a songwriting mode that you feel most comfortable in, of those three kind of options?
Yeah. The one that makes me feel, I guess, the best is the happy stuff.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
But like, I also sometimes, there's a time when, yeah, it just feels good to just, want to cry, right? Just
Sure.
let out the tears, right? And just, oh, that feeling of like, why are we living in this world? What is trying my best with this? And that kind of yearning feeling. Sometimes that feels good. It's like a mood. And then sometimes I want to feel like, yeah, just, awakening to a whole other level of consciousness or something, and then I'm just getting my mind blown. So it's like, yeah, kind of depends on my mood, really,
Sure, sure.
but
You mentioned a few minutes ago about the ability to perform all these live, kind of, faithfully to the recordings. How important is that to you, to have them sort of to be able to perform them at the way they sound on the record? Because the reason I ask this too is because some people I talk to, that's really important to them. They want things to be like note for note, perfect replica of what they've recorded. Other people are completely comfortable being, very loose with it and changing it, maybe even show by show. Like, are you sort of strict to the sound that the songs have this one sound and it's not mutable, or are you more open to sort of branching out with some of these live?
Yeah, definitely not at the Bob Dylan level where,
I don't think many people are. Yeah.
yeah, nobody's at his level
No.
changing things. No, like I'd say, yeah, I like to keep things, the template is the studio recording, and then doing our best to make it sound like that, because there's some things that, it's hard to really fully replicate that. But what I love about live is you can take it to higher levels with it. You can expand on it, and then there's different energies that you can kind of feel or create with an audience from that.
Sure.
So I like to, yeah, like it starts off like that. You try to replicate it as good as you can. Obviously, yeah, keep the vibe. Like, you're not going to change it like crazy yet, but yeah, and then try to do improvised sections, maybe just expand upon certain instrumental things or more of a sing-along part or something. Like, I like to really see what lies within the song, basically. See what can be explored and created.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that makes sense for sure.
The news and tell me you can't walk, but I said you walk better than I can. Get off that stumbling block. You're blowing away like a leaf in the wind, falling to find a way to feel the same like you did as a kid when you listen to the sound of the rain. Listen to the sound of can't stop what you're dreaming. Oh, it may come true, like two names sitting in a heart of chalk. It's hard to see the sun on a rainy day. I find change when you looked in the couch already. Release yourself from the mirror.
Poetry in your head. What are they diamonds?
Everything was a desert from then to now. And now we're back in the hall. And now we're rowing away, rowing down the river with the thought of a river beside. And everything was as clear as a doubt, but there was never a doubt. Never a doubt. Now everyone is so, so special. Even when you're not, the sweet and the sour.
I mean, you've been doing this long enough. I think I ask a lot of people the same question too. Is do you think you have a grasp on sort of where you fit within the local music scene? And I feel like because you've been doing this for as long as you have, you may have a better grasp than some people who are just sort of starting out and trying to find their place. Like, are there bands or, you know, scenes within the scene that you sort of feel like a kinship with, that you feel like you fit well with, whether it's sonically or spiritually or aesthetically or whatever?
Yeah, definitely. Especially over the last 6 years, well, I'm really, yeah, last, yeah, I guess 8-9 years, just like the festival scene of Manitoba is just such a special place.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
Like, the people in it, yeah, you know, like it's just such a good time. So that I feel is really the tribe that I most resonate with. But more specifically, there's two that I really feel a strong kinship with, is Gentlefolk.
Okay.
And Bean City, which is a folk fest type of phenomenon thing that I more or less had a big part in kind of growing over the years. So yeah, that has been kind of my place in the scene for a while. It's been less so the originals. It's actually been more doing covers.
Okay.
Doing big sing-alongs at folk fest and busking on the streets and everything. That's been more of my, that seems to be more of what I'm known for, I guess, current, like, over the last 6 or 7 years in the city, because that's what I've just done more publicly.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Do you, well, I guess maybe that brings up another question then about the covers. What makes a good cover for you? I mean, are you just playing songs that, okay, because you could be playing songs that you personally like, or songs that you know will resonate with sort of the widest group of people? Like, how do you determine what makes a good cover?
Yeah, so when I started doing the busking, there was a dude, his name is Les Lehman, and he asked me to if he could show me how to busk, because like he saw me at Times Change and did a thing at Times Change blues jam night.
Oh yeah.
He's like, I think you'd be good at busking. I was like, okay. So he showed me how to do it. So I started busking after that, and yeah, I would just play the ones that I liked. I'd play the songs that I liked that felt good to me, and people liked them. They're like, okay, nice, and throw me some money sometimes. Yeah. I get enough for beer or whatever. And then I was having fun with it. I was really enjoying it. And then I would go outside of the Toad, the old Toad.
Yeah.
And I would play, you know, whatever I liked. And people liked it. And I would get enough for a beer. But at the time I was teaching guitar. I was starting to teach guitar, and I was teaching kids. And kids don't know any music, really. They don't know any of old music.
Yeah, no, so for sure.
I had to find a song or a few songs that they all knew that I could teach them that was easy. The Riptide by Vance Joy. So it's like, okay, sure. I taught them that. So I pretty much memorized the song just by teaching it. So I was like, one night I was busking outside the Toad, playing the songs that I liked. Then I played, and then I was like, let's try Riptide. I tried Riptide, and then it was just crazy. People just were, there was like way more people that were kind of surrounding and singing along and dancing. And I was like, oh, what a difference. So it made me very curious. I was like, okay, well, let's find some other songs. So basically, yeah, I try to find songs with covers that do two things, basically. I gotta like them,
yeah.
and they gotta have a good reaction, you know, that to me, that's what it's all about. And then also sometimes like, I like singing ones that are obscure that are, that I just like that personally are for me in some way. But yeah, like the cover thing is for me, I like to just create the craziest energy I possibly can with cover songs.
Does that translate to covers you do with the band as well?
We haven't really done covers at our original shows yet, but we have a cover version of the band that we've done cover shows.
Okay.
Pretty much do the ones that I have kind of learned over the years work really well. So Tater and the Tots is the cover version of Oz Conscious. Yeah. So, and we're experimenting with which covers would fit with our set. We don't, because I know how powerful they are.
Sure.
And I don't want to take away from the originals because I know that it can very easily, you know, covers can create like a crazier time. You know, it's easier to create a crazy time with covers than it is with originals at the moment, at least. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, it totally depends on what the cover is and what the context is too. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, people might be hearing this, hopefully they're hearing this before the record comes out. What are the details of the album release? And then, you know, we can get into where they can find your music, at any time afterwards, but as far as the show that's coming up and the actual release date and those details.
Yeah. So it's June 20th at the Pyramid Cabaret. The doors are going to be at 8 o'clock. The first band, Naked Elevator Ride, they're a really cool new up and coming band. They're starting at 9.
Good.
We play at 10. And then our friend Jabez Ray of Stage Lab, he's going to be doing a custom visual stage video backdrop for our music. So each song is going to have its own kind of visual world associated with it that was custom tailored for it. So it's going to take people on the journey through those three kind of vibes I was talking about. So it's going to be the most important show I've ever done in my life. The one put, you know, so much into. And but yeah, June 20th at the Pyramid, 8 p.m. You can find it on Show Pass and search it up online and everything and on our social medias and stuff. And yeah.
Your way, you take what's not really yours to take, you break what's not really yours to break. Do you believe it now? Have you received it now? You can't escape from the price you'll pay. Daddy dollar, daddy dollar, daddy dollar, daddy dollar. Falling
this is a podcast, someone could be hearing it the day it comes out, in which case, you know, your show is imminent, or they could be hearing it a year later or 20 years later. Apparently, I can't ever stop doing this show. So, you know, who knows what year it is when you're hearing this? If someone wants to check out your music, and maybe by then you have like four new albums, who knows, right? What's the best way to find you online, whether it's to find out about upcoming shows or to hear new or old music and all the rest?
I'd say Spotify for all the music, and Instagram for all the show details, Facebook, TikTok. Yeah, those four things would be good.
Cool. And then, you know, you mentioned sort of earlier on about the previous releases you did. Are those all still out there as well? Or are you just sort of focusing on the new stuff? Because I know you mentioned, you know, some of the vocals you weren't super happy with on some of those old recordings. Like, are you one of the people who will, you know, sort of curate your discography, or do you just dump everything out there?
The first EP we did, that's no longer online.
Okay.
It was that one. I think it sounds pretty good, and the songs are good. We're probably gonna maybe bring those back, but the second EP is still online because it's just okay. It's just good enough. Like it sounds amazing. Like the production of it is incredible. Dale Penner, he's an incredible producer, and it sounds so good. My singing, I like it on there. It's pretty good, but yeah, it's just good enough for me to be happy with having it up there still. But yeah, the new album, that's the stuff that I 100,000% approve of and am excited about in all ways.
Well, that's, yeah, obviously you want your new stuff to be the priority, right? If it isn't, there's probably some questions about why you're doing it, right? Yeah. And so for people who are listening at the time this comes out, do you have anything else exciting planned for the next few months, like the relative the near future? What's the sort of plan after this album is out in the world?
Well, yeah, we want to play as much as we can now because I've been holed up in my room finishing this album for a long time. So we want to play as much as we can, get out there, get ourselves known. We're going to be releasing, you know, videos for these songs. We're going to be, yeah, just collaborating more with people. Mm-hmm. People have been asking us for a while to open for them. Mm-hmm. And I've had to just say, oh no, because of this, the album release, da-da-da-da-da. So now it's free to do that. We want to just go as far as we can with it, play festivals. We're going to be playing, you know, cover shows as well with the Tater and the Tots version, if people are into that. And just lots of music stuff, lots of live music stuff. That's what you can expect from us after this.
How often were you playing shows sort of leading up to this? It sounds like not really a lot.
Yeah, only like once every 4 months with the originals.
Okay.
They have various parts.
So what would be your ideal, I guess, shows to dates ratio?
Yeah, well, I know... I know that if you play, I don't know, it seems to me, if you play too much in Winnipeg regularly and you don't change the set or anything like that, people will stop. You'll be like, I can see them next week.
They get burned out, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a fine balance. I'm kind of like a music therapist at a hospital. So I play regularly all the time at Concordia Hospital for patients and old folks.
Okay.
So I get my playing experience with that, and ideally I'd love to do that with the originals, just play somewhere every day just to keep it going, because I just love it, you know. And but I know that that's not really that possible. So I would say my ideal, and I think what's capable of with the band and everything, is probably at least once a month, maybe more, and maybe like a cover one thrown in there.
That seems pretty reasonable. I think you could probably pull that off. Yeah.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So the show is the 20th at the Pyramid. People should expect visual wonders as well as the music and stuff. Do you want to just plug the details of that show? I know I just said the date and everything, but just give me one more plug for the show before I let you go here.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, the Nostalgia for the Moment album release party is June 20th at the Pyramid Cabaret. Doors open at 8. Naked Elevator Ride is playing at 9 p.m. We play at 10 p.m. And there's going to be an incredible visual stage set up with it, designed by Jabez Ray of Stage Lab. He's going to custom make moving visuals for each song. So it's going to be a very immersive artistic experience. And I'd love to see you there, June 20th, the Pyramid Cabaret.
Awesome.
my mind. You show me rooms I've never been inside. If it's not real, then it's just a rhyme. Whatever blinds you will define me right now. But I'm just a little bit scared. I saw you once inside my dream, telling me reality ain't what it seems. If I'm not here, then you're neither there. Whatever blinds you will confine right now. But I'm just a little bit we'll be right back.